listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day, sisters and brothers in Christ. Freedom in Christ is yours this day. Amen.
Amen.
Today is Reformation Sunday, the day that the Lutheran Church, anyway, and other Protestant sisters and brothers remember and commemorate Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses to the church door. The day is actually October 31st that this happened, but we celebrate it on this Sunday, closest to the 31st. This was the spark, of course, that ignited Europe and set the church on multiple courses, challenging the assumptions of the Roman Catholic Church of Luther's day, that salvation was not in the hands of the church, and certainly not in the hands of the Pope. Rather, Martin Luther and the Reformers lifted up this powerful passage that Kari read from the book of Romans, that we are justified by our faith, which is a gift that's given to us in baptism. It is apart from our good and rightful works, and all this is, of course, on account of Christ Jesus. But let's be careful today not to just look backwards into the past, just to applaud and admire Martin and Katie Luther and their contemporaries. For one of the pillars of our church is that we are semper reformanda. Have you ever heard that Latin term, semper reformanda? We are always reforming. It didn't just happen in 1517. Or in 1974, or in 2009, we are always reforming. It's happening again and again, all the way up to this sanctuary and this place today. We are always reforming, but we are reforming with direction. We're not just changing for the sake of change, just blindly following the trends of our culture, trying desperately to just stay relevant. Rather, we watch and observe and critique and participate with our culture. But the church is always reforming toward the center, the Word of God that we just sang about. Luther envisions it as a mighty fortress, the Word of God. We're always reforming in the direction of that center, the Word which becomes flesh and dwells among us, the truth which sets us free. We are always reforming over and over toward that gospel center. You can see this on the cover of this month's Lutheran magazine, which is out in the narthex as you leave today. This picture of our new bishop, speaking of reforming, first installed female presiding bishop of the entire Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, just happened this year. This has been a big year for the ELCA, electing its first female bishop, its first openly gay bishop who's in a partnered relationship in the synod just north of us, also the first Native American bishop. Not to mention the reforms that Pope Francis is making across the Roman Catholic community and the whole world as a result. Semper reformanda, always reforming. Those are some pretty noteworthy changes in institutional leadership that I just mentioned. But I want to tell you about another place where we can witness leadership and reformation. A couple weeks ago, I was in Chicago for a brief two-day conference on stewardship. Got to go to our churchwide headquarters and meet different people. And while I was there, I met another pastor from a small church outside of Kansas City. It's a mission start church. And so she's trying to gather people, start from scratch in a way. Her name is Janice, Pastor Janice. And at some point during those 2 days that we were in Chicago, she shared with me a story that has just stuck with me and really affected me to the core. And I've saved it to share with you on this day that we celebrate the Reformation. There's a little girl in that congregation, that developing young congregation in Kansas City. Her name is Emma. And she is larger than life, as Pastor Janice tells the story. She's about 4 years old. And you have to understand, and I think you can, there's only a small handful of people that come to worship at this little upstart congregation. And so, as you know, when there's a small group, anybody's activity can be distracting or can be enhancing. You know, we just affect each other more when we're closer together. And they worship, as Pastor Janice tells me, in kind of a community center right now. They don't have a building, but they're a congregation, and they gather in this community center. And they were gathering for worship one morning. And she was just about to start the service with the invocation. You know, we begin the service in the name of the Father. And she's right in the middle of that. And little four-year-old Emma is looking out the window. There's windows all around this community center, kind of like how we have here. And Emma's looking out the window, and she's starting, "We begin our service in the name of the Father." And this, "Wait," Emma says. And she runs across the sanctuary and out the door into the parking lot where a family's just arrived. And it's a new family. As Pastor Janice tells me, it's a family that's not really sure if this is their community or not. They're feeling a little bit on the outside because there's some things about their family, without going into it, that are different. But they have a little boy who's about Emma's age. And Emma sees that little boy. His name is Michael. She says, "Wait!" And she runs out the door. So the congregation waits. And she runs out there with her arms wide open, and she says, "Michael, I'm so glad you're here," she says as she's running. And then this is Kansas City, it's cold outside, they've got their coats on. She throws her arms around little Michael and says, "Michael, I'm so glad you're here." The whole congregation is watching. They're witnessing this. And then she ushers the family in. Mom and Dad probably are a little embarrassed. They're a little bit late for church, you know, and not sure if they belong. But she comes in with her arms still around little Michael, and she says, "Michael's here. We can start worship now." Which, in reflecting on this wonderful story with Pastor Janice, we realized they weren't about to start worship. They had already started worship. Because little Emma had just led them in the true vocation. You know, invocation is the calling in. We begin our worship, and then that's the calling in. Well, she had embodied that calling in as she ran out to throw her arms around the little straggler, the wayward, the latecomer. Janice and I now refer to this little girl as Saint Emma, as we've traded emails. She sent me a picture of her, and so if you hadn't figured out, the little girl on the cover of the bulletin this Reformation Sunday is the actual Emma, Saint Emma, as we've been calling her. How does this tie into Reformation Sunday? The church has, for most of my life, claimed to be a welcoming place, and I thank God for that. I've been able to, I've been received myself into this church, despite my own questions and doubts. I shared this story more than once this last week about a time when I was in college having doubts about God and about faith and about the church. I was taking a philosophy class that was challenging me in significant ways, and I remember talking to my campus pastor and said, "You know, I don't know that I believe in God anymore." And he said to me, "Well, that's okay, but can you read on Sunday? We need a lector on Sunday." Another way, not quite as dramatic as Emma throwing her arms around me, but continuing to include me and say, "You're still needed here, despite your doubts. Come as you are, for there is a place for you here." I give thanks for that experience of receiving welcome from this church that claims to be welcoming, but I know that others might just read it or hear about the church's claim as a welcoming place. So I wonder if part of our reformation in this time is that our welcome gets even bolder, even more tangible, even more gospel-centered under the Reformation leadership of people like Saint Emma and so many others like her. Some in this congregation. This is a tangible grace that God offers to us this day and always. This is a tangible running out to meet you grace, wrapping arms around you grace, calling you by your name grace, and saying, "I'm so glad that you're here." That's a reformation, sisters and brothers in Christ. That's nailing 95 theses to a church door and announcing to all the world, "This is what we are about." It's not about a demolition and a complete rebuild. There's good stuff here in our ancient tradition. But like an eroded sculpture, the edges sometimes need some sharpening. The facial expressions need some clarifying and redefining. That's reformation. This gift of grace that's given freely to each one of us is so good that we have to share it. It blows us out the door into the parking lot. We have to interrupt worship with worship and go running out the church doors to invite others into this life of faith, this life of grace, this life in the Spirit, in the beloved community of Christ, which is much larger than this congregation. It stretches out like a blanket across our lands. The Church of Jesus Christ goes on, reforms on, nearly 500 years after the Reformation. This is the truth that sets us free, that God is love in spite of ourselves. It's not a truth to be waved over our opponent's head. Like I've heard children on the playground, I know the truth and you don't. The truth is a humble truth. The truth is a humble truth that we are broken and sinful, but because of God we are made whole. Which, by the way, is what the word Emma means, whole. This love of God is so good. This forgiveness is such an ever-flowing stream. This grace is so real and so powerful that this truth not just invites us, but compels us even to start loving our opponents, even to start loving our enemies as Jesus commanded us. We can't help but worship all week long as we work and as we play in our homes and in our offices. We can't help but throw our arms around those who are on the edge and assure them that they have a place. I'm so glad that you're here. Thanks be to God for the reformers of this church, for St. Martin and for St. Emma, and for each of you who God calls saints as well. We go forth now to share God's unbounded love, to put on Christ and follow Him, bearing the fruits of the Holy Spirit this day and every day. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.